Welcome to Lose Yourself with Dr. Mike Cunningham, Bible teacher in Vineyard, Utah. When we lose ourselves in worldly distractions, we lose our value, our purpose, and our passion in exchange for temporal experiences. But Jesus says that whoever would lose their life for his sake will find it. Let's learn what it means to lose yourself with Dr. Mike.
Welcome to Lose Yourself. I'm Dr. Mike Cunningham, and I'm so glad you could join me for today's program. Today we begin a series in the book of Jude. This tiny one-chapter book, just before Revelation in the New Testament, is packed with content. It'll take us a few episodes to study it properly. Let's begin with some questions. Who was Jude? Why does it matter? What does this little epistle say? And why will it take more than one episode to study 25 verses of Scripture? Well, let's begin with some background. Although brief, the book of Jude is a significant part of the Christian New Testament. It's a powerful single-chapter epistle rich with admonitions against false teaching and a call for Christians to remain steadfast in their faith. Understanding its background is essential to grasping the depth and urgency of its message. Now, in terms of authorship, the epistle identifies its author as Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. This reference likely points to Jude, also known as Judas, who is listed among the brothers of Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew in 13:55 and Mark 6:3. The James mentioned here is generally accepted as James the Just, the leader of the Jerusalem church and the author of the Epistle of James, making him also a brother of Jesus. This familial connection places Jude in a unique position of authority and insight concerning the early Christian church and the teachings of Jesus. Many pastors have mused about the pressure of having a sibling who's divine and how that would be the hardest person to win over, yet Jude ends up becoming someone who gives us precious insight on Christ, and I personally am encouraged that he became a follower. In terms of setting and date, Jude wrote to Christian believers, addressing them broadly rather than pinpointing a specific community. His letter suggests that the recipients were familiar with the apostolic teachings of the Old Testament, indicating a group with some degree of instruction and grounding in the faith. The precise date of the letter's composition is debated, but it's generally placed in the late first century, about AD 65 to 80. This period was marked by turmoil within and outside the church, including the rise of false teachers and the persecution of Christians, which are key concerns of Jude's epistle. Jude's primary purpose is to confront and condemn the false teachers who have infiltrated the Christian community, challenging their immoral behavior and distortion of the gospel. He urges his readers to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3, emphasizing the need for vigilance and fidelity to the apostolic teachings. The letter is notable for its use of apocryphal literature, such as the Assumption of Moses and the Book of Enoch, to argue against these false teachings. This shows Jude's mastery over both canonical and non-canonical Jewish texts to make this point. This usage reflects the first century Jewish Christian context's broader cultural and religious milieu. Though short, Jude's letter is dense with theological and moral instruction. It opens with a greeting and quickly moves to the letter's main concern, the presence and danger of false teachers. Jude then provides examples from Jewish history and literature to illustrate the fate that awaits those who lead God's people astray. The latter part of the letter contains exhortations to the faithful to keep themselves in God's love and to rescue those being led astray by false teaching. The book of Jude occupies a unique place in the New Testament, bridging Jewish traditions and early Christian teachings. It serves as a poignant reminder of the Christian community's constant need for discernment and faithfulness. Jude's passionate plea to his readers to maintain their commitment to Christ amid false teachings and moral laxity resonates through the ages, reminding all believers of the importance of standing firm in their faith and defending the core truths of the gospel. Today, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Yes, just two verses, which are plenty in this amazing epistle. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. From these passages, the key themes we explore are servanthood, belonging, preservation, and the blessings of mercy, peace, and hope. In terms of servanthood, Jude self-identifies as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. In essence, the term signifies selfless service and willing obedience to one's master. It is an act of humility and devotion where the servant places the needs and wishes of his master above his own. Jude's chosen descriptor reflects a relationship with Jesus Christ that is based on unconditional lifelong commitment and service. I also want to take a look at the name Jude, which is a form of Judah, which means praised. In his identification, he did talk about being a servant to Jesus Christ and a brother of James. And the Greek context, the word of servant is doulos, which implies a devoted bondservant. I want to make sure that we consider the fact that this is a different form of the term slave than our modern context. Doulos evokes more of a willing submission than a subjugated slave. And I wanted to make sure I pointed that out as to not get lost in context. It just means that Jude lives his life in submission to the gospel and to Jesus Christ, which begs the question to us. Each of us is called to this high level of service. As bondservants of Jesus Christ, for the greatest among us is the servant of all. The next part of this passage talks about belonging. Jude addresses the epistle to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. As believers, we are called into a special relationship with God, one that is rooted in divine love. God beckons us to Him and unveils His plan to us, allowing us to find our truest identities and sense of belonging within His holy family. Also, talking about preservation, the phrase kept for Christ is profoundly reassuring. It expresses the perpetual preservation guaranteed to us by our faith. As believers, you and I are eternally secure in Christ Jesus. Our faith is not a temporal contract, but an eternal covenant. And when the storms of life rage around us, we find refuge in this promise of preservation. Dear friends, that is such an important part of the gospel, that we get to live our lives in hope, not determined by the circumstances that surround us. There are times that we can look forward with confidence when things around us look tenuous, and there's times that we can just trust God that He will persevere us, not just in our daily lives, but also understand that those of us who've received Christ as Savior can understand that that grace extends to us, that it is powerful, it is immutable, and it is something that we can take confidence in when we face the temptations and trials of life. So dear friend, I don't want you going through your life right now feeling like God's going to abandon you or will let you down. Please know that He preserves us in our faith. He is with us to the end. And friend, we who have embraced Christ and embraced the gospel can look forward to eternity with Christ. Which leads us to mercy, peace, and love, that portion of the passage. It says, the declaration of blessings in verse 2, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. This bespeaks the enormity of God's desire to bless us. Jude could have simply wished these blessings upon us, but he prays that they are multiplied unto us. It is a generous and expansive vision of grace that gives us courage and hope. Let's break these words apart. Mercy signifies God's compassionate disposition towards His people, God's care and concern for humanity in our helpless state. Peace symbolizes the state of experienced tranquility and reconciliation with God, others, and self as a result of God's grace. My friends, we seek peace in all the wrong places in our culture. Peace is not the absence of problems or challenges or trials. Peace is divine and allows us to face those with confidence and tranquility. I have a couple of quotes regarding mercy and peace. Billy Graham says, we are looking for a universal solution to our problems, but the cross presents itself in the midst of our dilemma as our only hope. Here we find the justice of God in perfect satisfaction, the mercy of God extended to the sinner, the love of God covering every need, the power of God for every emergency, the glory of God for every occasion. Here is power enough to change the world. So, dear friend, when you're talking about mercy, we require the mercy of God. We are lost without Him. We cannot save ourselves. These are times that we need to look at Him. And this quote from Billy Graham really stresses how faithful and just God is, and how shows the enormity of God and the smallness of us in these circumstances and our reliance on Him. Tim Keller adds, mercy isn't the job of a Christian. Mercy is the mark of a Christian. And so that's where we live in. When we live in mercy, that is important. Keller also adds, when we're talking about peace, he states, it's in death that God says, if I'm not your security, then you've got no security, because I'm the only thing that can't be taken away from you. I will hold you in my everlasting arms. Every other set of arms will fail you, but I will never fail you. Smelling salts are very disagreeable, but they are also very effective. But as you are waking from your illusions, be at peace, because here's what Jesus Christ offers us if by faith we have made Him our Savior. Dear friends, I hope that you've experienced God's mercy, and I hope that you've also experienced God's peace, because it is all rooted in God's love. And love reflects God's love for us and our response to His love by loving Him and our neighbors. It's the greatest commandment given by Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, the love that we receive needs to be emulated in our lives. And this is not a wishy-washy romantic love. This is an agape love that comes from God. In fact, I see so many people trying to be kind or loving away from God, and it just falls into legalism, and sometimes it can be considered insincere or lacking. But my friends, when we are abiding in Christ's love, John chapter 15, then we can experience God's true love, and then He empowers us to share that love with others. It doesn't have to be by our strength. It doesn't have to be by our will or might. It is something that we are given, gifts that God gives us, we in turn can turn around and bless others. So, dear friend, we have already jumped into two short verses in the book of Jude, yet they already packed a powerful punch. This is going to be a powerful series where we get to see the half-brother of Jesus give his insights on Christ's character and his teachings so that we can avoid the false teachings that abound in our culture. So as we leave today, let me ask you a question. What false teaching do you have in your life? I'm constantly checking myself. This world and this culture is so seductive and so disruptive and so enticing that sometimes the best of us find ourselves straying from God's word and letting culture speak into our lives that are not healthy. As we go through the book of Jude, I want us to be able to go through with clear eyes and hope and purpose in willful submission to God's word so that He can be the one who builds us up and directs our lives. So, dear friend, I look forward to continuing this series next week. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in our next episode of Lose Yourself.
This has been Lose Yourself. Lose Yourself is a teaching ministry of Bible teacher Dr. Mike Cunningham. For more information about Mike and his ministry, check out his blog at loseyourself.life. Until next time, make it your ambition to lose yourself to Christ. Lose Yourself is a production of Key Radio.